This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Looking for the perfect treat to sweeten your day? Paris Baguette has you covered with expertly crafted cakes, flaky pastries, and handcrafted coffees. And for a limited time, indulge in pure Nutella bliss. From Nutella-filled croissants and donuts to cakes and delicious Nutella lattes, every bite and sip is rich Nutella perfection. Order online at ParisBaguette.com or in the app using promo code PB3OFF15 to get $3 off your purchase of $15 or more through May 11th. Participation may vary. Limit 1.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, we have our final stop on our fish fry tour coming up this Friday in Millstadt, Illinois at Ott's Tavern. We're going to have a lot of fun on Friday afternoon. The Roundtable will be there live, Sue's News live, the whole team, Fred. I think Ethan's going to be stuck here again because we need him to take care of stuff here on the board since I'm not going to be here. But Fred and Sue will be there. Jane Duker on the panel. Former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch will be on the roundtable on Friday. And current state rep Steve Butts. As happy as I am that, and we're going to get back into some of this here at the bottom of the hour, that Kara Spencer won this race in St. Louis and Tashara is no longer going to be a problem here in St. Louis. I will say this, you know, I kind of wish Steve Butts would have got into that race because he's not crazy like Kara. He deferred to Kara. He was going to get into the race if she decided not to run. And I think it would have been a great choice and maybe someone who would be a little bit more focused on the business community. But we are left with another progressive, and I do have hopes that she's going to attend to some of the basics in the city at the very least. But we'll talk a little bit more about that with Jeff Smith at the bottom of the hour. Here's a soundbite from President Trump that kind of plays into my next guest, talking about the tariffs last night.
I'm telling you, these countries are calling us up, kissing my ass. They are dying to make a deal. Please, please, sir, make a deal. I'll do anything, sir.
You know, sometimes stuff like that drives people, certainly on the other side, nuts. Maybe even people who voted for Trump because they don't like his behavior sometimes. Of course, I'd flagged that in the past. I was someone that had said, you know, he didn't act presidential. But he takes a little getting used to, and the negotiation style and the communication style is something that's very unique, we know, to this president. Adam Elwinger is with us. He is a professor of English at the University of Houston, but also is doing a series for Real Clear Politics on this particular issue of Trump communication. Adam, welcome back. How are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
Thank you. It's good to talk to you again, Mark.
You know, as I admitted, I think that I was one of those people years ago that would say, you know, why does he have to do this? Why does he have to act this way on Twitter? He's not presidential. It took me a little while to get comfortable with the style. Mostly, I did kind of even make a point back then that Trump is misinterpreted a lot because he's using humor in many cases and people take him literal. But you've decided to do a whole series on this issue.
Yeah, with John Waters, who's a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security in the first administration. The basic premise to the series that we're writing for Real Clear Politics is that any man who has completed the greatest political comeback in the history of this nation obviously has some skill and political ability. And the way that he has been treated, in particular by the media, is as though he's an idiot. He knows nothing about communication. And the premise of the series is really, what if we assumed that the president isn't a moron and tried to understand the general theory of communication rather than dismissing it out of hand?
And you really have to go back, and I've never read the book, but one thing I remember in the early days of the Trump administration, and I think this happens even now, and maybe this week is a perfect example of this, a lot of this goes back to the Art of the Deal in the 80s, right?
Yes, absolutely. The piece that we put out this week sort of addresses the Art of the Deal as a template, a window into the then future president's understanding of how persuasion works. It's really remarkable the extent to which that book has been ignored. People on the other side dismiss it and say, oh, it was ghostwritten, blah, blah, blah. But we've never really had another president write a book about negotiation and communication specifically before they were presidents. You know, others have written about the presidency and its demands after their term is complete, and those books have received lots of attention. Barack Obama's books from before he was president have received enormous attention from scholars and pundits alike. But people have more or less written off Art of the Deal as if it's inconsequential. It's really a critical text for understanding sort of the method to Trump's madness.
And the first rule, as you illustrate in your piece, the first lesson of the book is that for Trump, any deal that doesn't redound to the distinct advantage of the deal maker is a failure, because that's then a deal in name only. And, you know, you start thinking about that in, you know, context of what's happening with all these trade agreements right now.
Absolutely. You know, the dominant mindset, I think, of the political class for at least 30 years now has been that a good deal is one that benefits both parties, and where we find consensus, where we are conciliatory, and everybody wins. That is not Trump's philosophy. Trump's philosophy is we need to win. And we should get the better end of deals. And because of the leverage that this nation brings to the table with its economy, with its enormous military power, everything else, we are in a position to get the better end of these deals. Why settle for less?
So how do you, you know, let's go back to the way that this is ignored, because I do think it's interesting that you don't have, you know, with many of these political candidates, you can't go back. I mean, you can go back and look at what Kamala Harris and Tim Walz may have said, or maybe they wrote it somewhere, but you don't have something that is that definitive like Art of the Deal, right? So why, I guess it's just because it's Trump, why has that not been emphasized more in just the political discourse? Because they just ignore him and they write him off, and the media is so biased because they think he's, you know, all trouble, right? He's a Nazi. I guess that's the latest tag, is he's a Nazi.
I think that a big reason that this really important text has been ignored is they need the public to believe that there's no method here, because that allows them to convince regular Americans that they should be anxious, that there's no strategy involved. And so it's not that they don't realize that this is an important text. It's that they don't want Americans to realize that there's a theory here, that there is a strategy here. And despite the bluster, right, the proof is in the pudding. And Trump's been winning for 4 years, you know.
Well, yeah, eight at this point, really. If you take the election out from 2020, I mean, when you just look at the communication, then I'd say that 6 of those 8 years, I think he's done pretty well. What is it when he refers to, or you refer to, controlled neurosis, Adam? What is that about?
He Trump describes in Art of the Deal how he approaches his emotional state when he approaches deals, and he describes it as a controlled neurosis, which should be enough. It should be catnip for the people who want to attack him, because obviously the negative connotations of neurosis. But what he means by it is kind of a single-minded drive, you know, a will and ambition to push until you are in the advantageous position in the deal. And again, I think that's what we've seen this week, right? We've seen I might be wrong, but what I've read is that today was the biggest gain in the Dow Jones Industrial Average ever.
It was a pretty big day, yeah.
Now, that's not to understate the losses, but this is how deal making works, is that, you know, you demonstrate that you are willing to leverage your position, and then you get a different response from the people you're negotiating with.
Well, and I think that, you know, I think you wrote about this, Adam, but much of that was also true in that just blockbuster meeting with Zelensky that day in the Oval Office.
Yeah, and that's the sort of exchange that that you really need to read The Art of the Deal to completely understand. To sort of untrained eye, you think, oh my gosh, what's going on here? But Trump talks about the role of desperation in negotiation and how desperation is always going to undermine your position in relation to a deal. It's telling that Trump was willing to let Zelensky leave without a deal, right? He says, Trump's words are that when they can smell desperation, they smell blood in the water. And you're dead in negotiation immediately. And again, we saw the results in the speech to the joint session of Congress. The president noted that Zelensky had written him only days later. It said Ukraine is eager to come to the negotiating table as soon as possible.
So I played this last hour, Adam, but I have to play it again because what I said at the time is this is a perfect encapsulation of Trump in sort of what he does with communication. I think you're going to agree here. So this was earlier today. He was signing some executive orders, and this one was on water pressure. As you probably well know, the president's talked a lot about water pressure in the past, but check this out.
You don't get water. It's ridiculous.
So with this executive order, we're effectively going to be reversing that set of regulations to ensure that Americans have choice in the consumer market. If they want a low-flow showerhead, they can buy one. If they want a real-deal showerhead, they should have the ability to
So that last part there, because they don't. Nobody wants one. I love that. But what that whole soundbite, the way it plays out, is he talks about how, you know, it takes you so long to wash your hands. Well, it really doesn't, Adam. We know that. But in The Art of the Deal, he talks about bravado, right? He says, I play to people's fantasies. That's why a little hyperbole never hurts. I call it truthful hyperbole. It's an innocent form of exaggeration and a very effective form of promotion. I think he nails it there. The problem is that the people interpreting his hyperbole take everything literally, as we've indicated.
Yeah, exactly. I think that truthful hyperbole, you know, the fact that the president almost 40 years ago came out and said that this is a guiding principle to his communication, you know, that shows the transparency that he's not trying to manipulate. You know, somebody who wants to manipulate you with hyperbole wouldn't tell you that they're being hyperbolic all the time. And it's not that Trump's critics don't understand this again. It's that they need to misrepresent this. And so, you know, they take everything that Trump says literally because it redounds to their advantage in sort of fomenting public anxiety and opposition to the president's agenda.
So I think that one of the things you wrote here really sums up a lot about where, you know, the president got his support for this election in the fall and where he continues to have a lot of support. He says that, you know, being conciliatory doesn't really work. And in his mindset, it makes it incomprehensible. He sees that it is cost for Americans, and he's tired of us coming out on the losing end. Trump knows that most people think small because most people are afraid of success, afraid of making decisions, afraid of winning. And that gives people like me a great advantage. I want to kind of go to the point about a cost for Americans, because look, I believe that. I believe, and I think a lot of Americans, look, the retail politics he did, getting on the trash truck, going to the McDonald's, he has this amazing ability to really make it relatable to everyday Americans. I talked about going to my Walmart in High Ridge, Missouri in the last hour. You know, those are the folks that can't relate with a lot of the things that are happening with the elites that are happening on Wall Street. But they can relate with a guy, even though he's a multi-billionaire, that goes to McDonald's and rides on a trash truck. It's kind of amazing.
It is amazing. And, you know, I think that this is one of the great paradoxes of Trump's mystique is the man who eats McDonald's for lunch and uses a gold toilet. There's a great mystery here. And I think that it does resonate with average Americans. It's also a way to signal the president's honesty, right? Nobody's ever accused Donald Trump of not saying what he really thought. And whether you agree or disagree with what he says or how he says it, at least you could say, you know, he doesn't obfuscate. He doesn't hide his thoughts from the public. And And that's a gesture of transparency, you know, that the Americans have been clamoring for.
Well, and, you know, and even though I in the past have been a critic of Trump, one of the things that I was always never critical of is the very fine people comment, because that was so mangled and so misinterpreted and lied about constantly lied about. So a lot of times what he says is just ignored because they don't want to admit that he's telling the truth. It gets very, very confusing. But Adam, when does the series take place in Real Clear? Is it already started? Was that kind of part one or not?
Well, that was kind of a prologue that was published a little belatedly. So it's already begun. I think we've got two or three that are already out there. We hope to have one forthcoming on tariffs, and the installments aren't really scheduled on a regular basis. Rather, we're watching developments. And as we see a unique and illustrative example of his communications, well, then we'll be there. We'll be at Real Clear Politics, and you can see us at sites that pick up their material, too.
I don't think you're going to be, hurting for material. That's just my guess here. My guess. Adam, thank you so much. I appreciate it. If I've never said this to you before, because you're down in Houston, you must go to the Heights and visit a restaurant called Squabble, because my son works there, and it is outstanding. One of the better restaurants in all of Houston.
Well, I'll be there soon then. I didn't know that. We'll definitely check it out. We don't live too far.
James Beard nominated, and yeah, my son Evan lives down there and helps run that place. So thanks, Adam. I appreciate it.
Great. All good right. To talk to you. Thanks.
Take care. Let me get this in before we have to break, and we're going to talk about more stuff with the city with Jeff Smith. But as we indicated with Adam there, yeah, it was quite the day on Wall Street. Now, again, a lot of this was a recovery from what happened earlier in the week, but the Dow was up 2,962 points, 7.8%. So big, big day on Wall Street. But Adam Schiff thinks he's got something here because he's now going after Trump for insider trading. So listen to this.
How concerned are you with this market fluctuation? And are you concerned that there could be members of the White House that are benefiting from it?
Absolutely. I'm writing to the White House to demand, who knew in advance that the president was going to once again flip-flop on tariffs? And are people cashing in? There is just all too much opportunity for people in the White House and the administration to be insider trading, and you can't put it past them for a minute. So we're going to try to find out.
All right. So keep in mind that, and this is what's just sickening, is, you know, he's a senator now from California.
It's just disgusting.
Right. So one more here, but I have something even, I wanted to tie this in with something related to Trump that you're going to like, but one more with Shifty Schiff here.
There's a good chance they'll just ignore you, though, right? Should there be some other independent investigation into this?
Well, I think Congress should do an investigation into this, but we're going to demand answers from the administration. I think you're right. They're likely to stonewall, particularly if they've been engaged in corrupt insider trading. But they won't be able to hide it for good.
I mean, all right, whatever. The only reason I really wanted to play that is because I wanted to play the next soundbite. And I've never heard this before, but I like it. I like it a lot. So last night, Trump was talking about this guy, Adam Schiff.
Adam Shifty Schiffs. Can you believe this guy? He's got the smallest neck I've ever seen. And the biggest head. We call him Watermelon Head. How could that big fat face stand on a neck that looked like this finger? How can it? It was the weirdest thing. It's a mystery. Nobody can understand it. But he's one of the most dishonest human beings I've ever seen. And, you know, how we can allow people like that to run in office is a shame, but we did.
I just like that he calls him Watermelon Head, and I never heard that before. But I'm calling him Watermelon Head from here on out. Jeff Smith coming up next. We'll talk about the big victory for Kara Spencer, the future of the city of St. Louis.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hey, remember Black Girl Magic? Well, poof, it's all gone. Yeah, Steve Miller was appropriate for this because Tashara Jones will no longer be the mayor of St. Louis. I'll get to that here in just a moment. I want to mention that the Masters gets underway at Augusta tomorrow, and Dan Reardon, no relation, will join us. He is heading down there. I don't think he's down there yet, but we'll get a preview here in just a few minutes. So here is Tish last night after the blowout loss.
This campaign was powered by the people and was a movement of people. I'm so proud to have run this race because I ran it not for me, but for you.
Well, if it was a movement for the people, there were a whole lot of people involved because she had very little support in either the first election or the runoff. I mean, the writing was certainly on the wall. It turned out the way that many had hoped. Now I'm under no, you know, delusion that Kara Spencer is going to come in and right the ship right away. She's got a big challenge in front of her. Plus, she's still very progressive, and I don't know where the priorities are going to be. But let's talk to another progressive, a friend of the roundtable. Former State Senator Jeff Smith is here. He is currently the executive director of the Missouri Workforce Housing Association. Jeff, how are you this afternoon?
Pretty good. In the middle of a Senate filibuster under the dome in Jeff City.
Are you really? Who's doing the filibuster?
There's like five or six senators that are kind of jointly delaying a bill.
What was the bill? Do I care?
It is a bill that would change the regulations around cannabis and hemp in the state.
Yeah. Wow.
And kind of put the any hemp manufacturing or hemp distribution or retailing under the kind of umbrella of the cannabis operation.
All right. So obviously, we knew this was going to happen, at least for the most part. We knew it was going to happen. I don't know if you have any thoughts on the results, because it was a blowout, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was more pronounced than most people anticipated it would be. You know, I think it was overwhelming. And I think that's, you know, pretty much a mandate for a change in the approach to city government. To me, it was just kind of a signal that the average voter in St. Louis City is kind of done with grand ideological visions and more interested in kind of the basics of day-to-day governance and service delivery. There's just been a mounting frustration in the last few years with lots of little things, and those little things added up and then culminated in the city's response to the snowstorm a couple months ago. And that was really the straw that broke the camel's back. I think had that not happened, it would have been a closer race. I still think, you know, Spencer probably would have won, but that really was, I think, what helped all those fears and all those concerns crystallize. And that's what put Kara in such a good position the last few weeks.
From a broader political perspective, I firmly believe that this should be a national story. What's happened here in St. Louis? Cori Bush gone. Kim Gardner gone. Now Tishara. You know, Black Girl Magic. It's poof. It's gone right now. It's a pretty big collapse. This is an epic collapse in a city that has a lot of challenges, where you had all these progressives that come to the table in the aftermath of the pandemic and George Floyd, and people have just had enough of them right now.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't put it in those racial terms, even though sometimes the supporters did use that hashtag. And so I wouldn't say it was a repudiation of Black women. I do think it was a repudiation of, you know, a certain style of governance that was more focused on, you know, things that didn't really involve people's day-to-day lives for the average voter. And I think people just want government to work. When you're an executive of a city, you can't be focused on making grand statements about what's happening in Gaza. You shouldn't be, you know, super focused on, let's put $1 million for Uber rides for people who want to exercise their reproductive freedom in other states.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I support access to abortion 100%. But I'm not sure that that's kind of was a priority of like the typical city voter when they felt like their 911 calls weren't getting picked up, when they felt like their trash wasn't getting picked up, when they felt like the snow wasn't getting picked up, right? Those are pressing concerns to the average voter. And I think some of the people, whether it was defund the police or abolish ICE or abolish all, you know, jails, there were some, you know, people around some of the officials who lost that were saying things that were just out of the mainstream of American political life. And yeah, St. Louis City is more liberal than the state of Missouri, but it's not as liberal as some of those positions that I just referenced.
So I don't
and
know.
That,
Go ahead. Complete your thought
there.
Well, all I was going to say is I don't know Kara Spencer that well. I've only met her a couple of times. She was here on the roundtable one time. She never got invited back to the roundtable for this particular reason. She's not focused at all on the national issues, kind of to the point you were just making. I don't see her going out there and trying to make some big national political point just because she's in this office. Now, I might be wrong, and there's pressure once you get in a position like this, but she's kind of a policy wonk. You tell me if you're, you know, have different opinions of this. She's hyper-focused on St. Louis. Now, I've had people tell me she's a bit of a micromanager. That's not going to help her, but what would your expectations be here of the next mayor?
I think your read is right. And I think, you know, you've asked me for help getting other Democrats to come on the roundtable and put up with your crap.
Yes, I have.
And there have been a few false starts, because there have been times when I've suggested people and then you said to me, oh my God, they were nuts. I can't have them on again. And you're not saying that about the mayor-elect. What you're saying is she is hyper-focused on local issues. She is hyper-focused on the details of governance and management. And I think that's a good thing.
Yes.
I find that refreshing. I don't elect a mayor. I live in the city, and I don't want to vote for a mayor based on their foreign policy positions. I want to vote for a mayor that's going to appoint good people to run city departments and city institutions, whether it's trash, you know, or forestry or the jail, or the street department.
Right.
Those are the things that make a difference in my day-to-day experience living. And, you know, I have other criteria for how I vote for U.S. Senator. So I don't really need people talking about those issues. And so I think that kind of what you just said about her is why the median voter in St. Louis City gravitated towards her because they sense that she is maybe a little bit of a person who's going to say, hey, I want to know exactly how things are working in that department. It's a little pejorative to call that micromanagement, but having a kind of focus on the details of how government works or doesn't work.
Thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I don't want to minimize the other election result in the city. Donna Behringer joined us at the beginning of the show. She, of course, also a Reardon Roundtable veteran, Jeff, but that was a big victory, knocking out someone who was an incumbent for, you know, 30 years here in St. Louis, Darlene Green, a lot of power in that office. And Donna worked very hard to get this victory. You got to give her a lot of credit.
Absolutely. You know, it's good to see roundtable panelists succeeding after, you know, after the long time roundtable jinx when people were losing and going to prison and all this other stuff, you know, all your panelists and now they're finally winning. So,
I did tell her, though, to your point, I said, look, there's two paths that the Reardon Roundtable participants take. It's either federal prison or they go like to Schmidt and they go to bigger things like Donna. So they're okay. You've kind of done both, you know, if we're being fair. Right. Sometimes you can do everything. All right, Smith. Well, back to your filibuster. Thank you for the insight this afternoon. I do think it offers some renewed hope. Look, there's big challenges, as you know. I don't know where any kind of economic engine for the city is going to come from, but hopefully Kerry can get some people on the same page. I'm going to have Steve Ellman on tomorrow talking about some stuff in St. Charles. I think there's going to be a better approach to people working together. Now, if we could just get rid of your guy, King Page, we'd maybe be on the same page here in the region.
You know, I think Sam Page is not the most electric personality in politics, but he's got a good heart, and he also is somebody who cares.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up. Give me a break. Come on.
And he
are you the one guy
about,
that
like,
he has as an ally?
Government.
Who's his ally? You're the ally now. Who else is on his side? Not even his members of the county council, although the Proposition B thing went down. What did you think of that, by the way? Did you think that was a bad idea?
I think the voters got it right. If you're going to elect somebody to be county executive, then give them a chance to appoint the people they want to run the county. If they don't like it, then they can vote them out next year.
Yeah, I voted for it, but I had some second thoughts about it as well. All right, Smith, thank you so much. We'll see you on the roundtable soon.
See you, buddy.
That is former State Senator Jeff Smith, who's with us on the roundtable on a regular basis. And yeah, you know, the joke there for those people who don't know, I mean, when I do the math, we haven't really mentioned this in a while. If you go the last 16, 17 years, let me think about this. I've done this since about 2008, the Reardon Roundtable started on KMOX and then took it over here. And we had, I'm not forgetting names, but I think the final count was we got Steve Stanger, Jeff Smith, Jeffrey Boyd, Lewis Reed. There was one other too. There's five people that have been on the roundtable who have gone to federal prison stints. I think they're all out at this point. I don't think anyone's in the Hooskow right now. But that was kind of our track record. But then you have examples of someone like Senator Schmidt, who was also, you know, he had some humble beginnings on the Friday Reardon Roundtable. Look where he's been at this point. On the mayor's race, let me go back to just a little more audio here, because this is something that's going to make you laugh hysterically. This is what Tish said last night about crime.
So my opponent will inherit a city that is safer than it has been in decades.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I don't know where she gets that, but she was pretty defiant last night. I don't think she did anything too crazy, which I was a little disappointed in. Her father did discontinue his Twitter account, which is rather hilarious. I mean, I don't even know how he could activate on Twitter or be active on Twitter. He blocked half the people out there. Blocked me, blocked Jane. He blocked everyone really that's been on the roundtable, so that'll be fun to talk about on Friday. But here's Kara last night.
Today, St. Louis voted for change.
Thank goodness for that. Her priorities?
A better delivery of city services that our residents and our businesses rely on. All right, am I right? But this campaign, this election, was about so much more than potholes and trash. It was built on the idea that we can build a downtown that we can all, our region, the St. Louis region, can be proud of.
Well, let's hope that
that's
going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a little nervous just because the challenge is so great. And I don't know enough about Kara and her priorities to not be worried that some of this stuff is going to go in an uncomfortable direction. But even let's just say even if you can get control of some of the things with basic services. You know, I was telling you about this dinner that I had last week with some folks that are pretty insightful. Rainford was there as well. I don't want to speak out of turn, but some of the stuff was off the record. But they were tossing out some figures and some personnel numbers from the streets department, for example, which were just outrageous.
You mean how low the staff
is? Like,
oh, yeah.
Well, of course, the person that she appointed to that, pretty much a DEI hire, and even there's no, I can't remember exactly the stat, but there's no like actual engineers in the streets department.
Oh my gosh.
Things that you would think would be automatic. Now, you're going to have to come up with a way outside of sending money reparations to pay people a little bit more because you have people, we were talking about, you know, economic development. What kind of people do you need on an economic development team? Typically, not that this makes them better, but let's face it, typically it's people with MBAs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not going to make work for $80,000 in the city of St. Louis, right?
No.
Making twice that if they go somewhere else. So there's an issue with, you know, attracting talent. I don't know what kind of team Kara Spencer will put together because I'm not as familiar with that side of politics. Jane and the team on Friday will be able to break that down, but you got to get good people in here.
Hopefully.
Make an effort to not make everything, you know, wouldn't it be nice to just not make everything about the race car?
Yes.
Even if we could just somehow achieve that, it would be amazing. But in the meantime, all that black girl magic has disappeared for now. Audio cut of the day is coming up. 90-day pause on many of the tariffs led to a record-breaking day on Wall Street, of course, making up for a lot of the losses as well. But we'll highlight that in audio cut of the day. But it's Masters weekend. It starts tomorrow down at Augusta. Dan Reardon will be there. No relation, as we like to say. Same spelling. But, Dan, you're heading down tomorrow, aren't you? How are you?
I'm doing fine, Mark. Yeah, traditionally when I've worked this tournament, I had a full-time job, and taking off on Wednesday was not necessarily in my schedule. So I've just sort of maintained that I'll work the four tournament days and maybe sometime in the future, if I'm still doing this, try to throw. I've never been to the par three tournament.
Oh, really? That would be, nope. And how did that go, bud? That was today or was that yesterday?
That was today. Echevarria won it. There were three holes in one, Keegan Bradley, Brooks Koepka, and I don't remember who the third one was, but it went very well. And you've got a younger generation of players now. So there was Jordan Spieth with his young child out there, and there was Rory with his daughter out there. So it has a whole new feel to it these days.
Dan, before we get into maybe a preview, a handicapping of the tournament itself, just kind of talk about this setting down there and how different Augusta is, how different the Masters is even from other PGA events.
Well, because they go, it's a major, first of all, and it's the only major played on the same venue every year. And then the club itself has a mystique about it, and they have earned that mystique. You know, they've preserved a lot of things. You know, I told somebody, you know, we did the pre-tournament show a year ago, and you asked me the question, what do I look forward to? And I realized afterwards, and this applies not just to me, this applies to the players, this applies to the spectators, everybody. Once you go in the gates at Augusta on Thursday or whatever day it is, until you leave for the last time, you're experiencing a world that you would like to live in. And I'm not talking about flowers and green grass and all those kinds of things. You're just treated like you're special as a human being. Nobody is really given a lot more privilege than the others. And so when you leave at that period of time, you think, geez, I'd like to live in that world. And unfortunately, we can't these days.
Even if I remember correctly, they don't allow cell phones at the Masters. Like, even the media people, you can't have cell phones, right?
I can have a cell phone, but I can't take it out of the media building. And if you're going through the gates as a patron or a spectator, they have a check stand for you. But there's, like I said, you could go on and on. You know, I just saw somebody write the article about, they quoted the stat as $140 was what the four-day badge was. And I find that hard to believe, given the fact that this year's Ryder Cup is $700 a day to go to the Ryder Cup. That's just Augusta. They just have a different approach to life, and they can say no to anybody. As we know, a few years ago when they were being boycotted by the women because they didn't have a woman member at that time, they said, that's okay. We'll just cancel all our sponsors, and we'll just sponsor the whole telecast ourselves.
Yeah, look at that. All right, well, listen, I don't have a lot of time left. So 60 seconds, handicap the field. Who's coming in hot right now? Rory's looking for this fifth major.
All the talk is about Rory and, of course, Scheffler, who's won two of the last three. Rory comes in off a win at the Players' Championship, has won twice this year, probably has the most going for him, also has the most pressure, 10 years, 11 years without a major championship, a lot of things going there. Scheffler got off to a late start because of the cut hand. He's not affected by an injury there, but his rhythm, his timing has been thrown off. Xander Schauffele is not being talked about, sort of surprisingly, since two of the last three majors that were played in golf were won by Xander Schauffele, and he's got a great record. He's got four top tens at the Masters. I like Bryson DeChambeau as a name you want to look at because we don't know anything about the guys on LIV, and Bryson showed up at the Pinehurst and won the U.S. Open Championship. And we discovered not only a great player who's changed the way that he handles things, but as a guy that really fits what the game needs. He is the star of the game right now because he has captured an audience under 30, and his YouTube stuff is really well done.
Oh, it's really well done. I watch it all the time. So thank you, Dan, for the update. We're going to get some leaderboard updates here over the course of the next couple of days. Also, I heard, and this is somewhat unusual because as you've reported in the past, the weather can play a big role, but the weather's supposed to be pretty nice over those 4 days, right?
It has, and I thought the rain on Monday would echo through the week, but I've read through the interviews of the players the last couple of days. They think the course is in really good condition. They're mostly relieved that they don't have mud to deal with. They'll handle a wet golf course. They just don't want mud, and there is a chance of rain on Friday afternoon. It'll be a little cooler than players want in the morning, but the weather will be good.
Have a great trip. We'll talk tomorrow afternoon. Got to get to this. Thank you, Dan.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Big rally on Wall Street. Huge today. All the markets up significantly because of a 90-day pause on the tariffs. Here's President Trump.
Well, I thought that people were jumping a little bit out of line. They were getting yippy, you know? They were getting a little bit yippy, a little bit afraid, unlike these champions. Because we have a big job to do. No other president would have done what I did. No other president. I know the presidents. They wouldn't have done it. And it had to be done. What was happening to us on trade, not only with, you know, if you look at it, not only with China, but China was by far the biggest abuser in history, and others also, but somebody had to do it. They had to stop because it was not sustainable.
You heard him mention champions. He was there at the Oval Office with NASCAR champions today. So there you
go.
We'll talk tomorrow at 3. We'll see where that market is tomorrow. Sue, have a great night.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.